cheated. We asked Pastor Ludwig. You all should get used to the name Pastor. Pastor Ludwig to share God's word. He is our oracle today.
Let's sing this song together. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and change the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, have tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill this place and change the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a couple of minutes here this morning. Let's enlarge our capacity. Let's release our spirit this morning. Let the Holy Spirit lead us this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rabashe kepia robo. Thank you, Lord. Rabba kana mashe roboria rabba kana nasia tadalalalale andoro. Yeke sheke parabada. Holy Spirit, lead us this morning. Teach us to be one with you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Teach us to acknowledge you and to receive you. Change the atmosphere. Feel the atmosphere. Let there be a saturation of your presence this morning. Hallelujah, robo sheke pe arabra. Hallelujah, hake pe arobo sheke pe afurabrasi. Thank you, Lord. Rabba kapranda araba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rabba sheke pe arobo. Bapranda branda na mabranda raba. Hallelujah, rabba kapranda branda raba. Arabranda babian raba. Bapranda babian rabranda raba. Bapranda rabranda rabranda raba. Bapranda rabranda rababian raba. Bapranda rababian raba. Mapreke sheke piagraba. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we declare this, when we say with all of our hearts, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. We pray, oh God, let there be a supernatural move, a supernatural touch, a supernatural encounter with you this morning. We pray, let there be an effective working of your Spirit and of your Word in the inside of us this morning, in Jesus' name, that your people may bring honor and glory to the wonderful, to the beautiful, and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You know, as we've been talking about, being one in the image and likeness of God a couple weeks ago, this morning I want to talk about being one with the Holy Spirit. Being one with the Holy Spirit. We find that the very reason of our redemption, the very reason why Jesus, God, will intervene into our lives and bring us unto Him, into this encounter that we have with the Lord Jesus to be born again, is so that first and foremost that will be formed into the image and the likeness of Jesus. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. You know, even though we talk about there's a function, we all have a function, we all have our jobs, and we all have our race to run, we all have our lanes, we all have something that we will accomplish as an individual, and there's something that we will accomplish corporately as the body of Christ to fulfill the will of God. But the first and foremost thing that God works in our lives is that you and I, will be in the image and the likeness of His Son. It was out of this that man was to live in the Garden of Eden. On the sixth day, God created man in His own image and His own likeness, and He's blessed them. And from that dimension, He puts them in the garden, and from there, they were to look after the garden and reproduce and multiply and exercise dominion and subdue the enemy from that realm of being in the image and likeness of God. And so, we talked about this last week, and we talked about, to do that, we need the Word and the Spirit of God. You know, that we were, according to His purpose, according to His, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So you and I this morning, God puts eternity in our hearts. And when God puts the eternity, He puts that seed, that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And because of that seed in the inside of us, that seed will grow more and more until it can bear the fruits and it can represent the life of Jesus. That's my destiny. That's your destiny. Amen. All of us as Christians, this is something that God will do in our lives. Amen. So here you can find some of the scripture references that we talked about last week. But let me quickly do this, read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. And then we will talk about this morning being one with the Holy Spirit as the Lord is working through our lives. So Romans 8, verse 28 to verse 30, it says this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose this morning? Some of you? All of you? Amen. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Amen. So if you've been called according to His purpose, you've been called, you've been justified, sanctified in His name, so that we might be to the praise of His glory. So the Holy Spirit in our lives will lead us to Christ. One of the main functions of the Holy Spirit says, no one can call Jesus Christ except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal who Jesus is, right? He points to Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, I just want to share with you from my own life experience how there's a working of the Holy Spirit. Now, I came from a very religious background, as some of you might already know.
Okay, I grew up going to church, but I never knew who Jesus really is. I never had an encounter. I never really understood what I believed in. And so for the majority of my life, I was going to church without the reality of God. I prayed, read the Bible every now and then, here and there, you know, and did what I believe is right. Okay? But there was no life, there was no reality. Now, it wasn't until there was a working of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit comes to, He convicts of the world of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Now, what I want to share with you is that there is a work of the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, none of us sitting here in this place could call Jesus Lord. That's why we need a divine encounter with the Holy Spirit. When I say a divine encounter with the Holy Spirit, I don't necessarily mean goosebumps and you feel like you're flying and you're slain. I mean, all of these are great manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but we need an encounter, a work of the Holy Spirit that will change us, that will cause us to say no to the world and say yes to God, that will cause us to forsake the lifestyle of the world and say, Lord, here I am available to you, and I want to change and I repent, and from this day onwards, I will live according to your word and by the Spirit of God. The encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so As I was going to university one day, I was at university. I think I was about 18 or 19, and I was going back home from one of our lectures. I was catching the bus, and out from that moment, I've been meditating on some of the things, you know, about my own faith and about my belief. Out of nowhere, this thought came to my mind and said, this is what I thought. If I was to die right now, would God accept me for who I am? Now, you're going to understand one thing. At that point in life, all I do is go to church and hear. I've got to explain to you where I came from. All I heard was a 5-minute sermon on a Sunday. From Monday to Sunday, I had nothing else spiritual input in my life. So I know nothing about the Bible. All I know is Jesus died on the cross. We do good, love your neighbor as yourself. That's about all I know, okay? And some of the rituals that I've been doing. But the thing is this, out of nowhere, this thought came to me, if you die right now, would God accept you? And for the very first time in my life, I could really say that I felt like the most sinful person on planet Earth, all right? And me, even though having no theological training or Bible training, you know, I knew that somehow if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, you should have an assurance of your salvation. But at that point in my life, I had no assurance. I felt like if I was to be standing before God, I felt so unworthy, so filthy, so dirty. Now, I want to explain to you one more thing to show you that it is the work of the Holy Spirit and not just a thought. Is that to understand where I came from as well, now that by no means I say that I was perfect or a really good boy, okay? I had lots of other issues as well. But what I want to explain to you is that the way I was brought up was because I was a lot into sports. I was playing tennis. And my life involved this, going to school in the morning, back from school, tennis training, go back home, have some dinner, do some homework, and go to bed, okay? So my lifestyle revolved around this. So I never really had, in a sense, an opportunity, or I would say, no, I've had opportunities, but really God protected me from all of these, to get into drugs, to get into alcohol, and be a party animal, and do all kinds of things, right? So God protected me from that. But the reason why I share this is not to show you that I was such a great guy. Like I said, I had so many other issues that God dealt with when I became a born-again Christian. But what I want to say to you this morning is that I had all the reasons to say that I was a good enough person to go to heaven. I didn't fight anyone, and all that kind of stuff. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I didn't drink, I didn't get into drugs, and all these things. So I had all the reasons to say, well, I'm okay. I'm not that bad after all. There's a lot of people that are worse than me. And so if anyone has to go to hell, it's not me. Other people that are doing worse things than I am. But for some reason on that day, the Holy Spirit, on hindsight,
moved in my heart and brought about this conviction that I was sinful, and only God can do that. And because of the encounter of the Holy Spirit, that turned my life around. And I stand before you today. But without the work of the Holy Spirit, and without people that God would send and sow the word into our lives, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today. But what I want to say to you is that there's a work of the Holy Spirit that will bring about a change, an encounter that we all need. That's the reason why it doesn't matter if, you know, it's not a thing where I grew up in church and I did all these. None of these can save us. None of these, I serve in hospitality, cannot save us. I'm part of the worship team. That does not help me. I go to Bible study on Wednesdays. That doesn't help me. I go to prayer meetings on Friday. That does not set me free. But an encounter with the Holy Spirit that would say, Lord, I'm a sinful person. I love you and I repent for my sin. That encounter we all need to have. Without this encounter, you will find that it is so essential to have this encounter by the Holy Spirit so that we can have a proper birth in our born-again experience. Because when that happens, God put a seed in us and a hunger and a thirst to pursue the things of God. And like I shared a few weeks ago, you don't have to be chased up for the things of God. You want the things of God because you've been born again, not by the will of man, not by the will of, you know, the flesh, nor of blood, but by the will of God. Amen? And we will not feel satisfied until we find what God has put in our hearts. Amen? Does that make sense this morning? I want to share this morning because I want to show you, or hopefully even for my own self, that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Now, as a born-again Christian, we have the Spirit of Christ in the inside of us. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit works in our lives, when we have a certain convictions of what we should do and what we shouldn't do, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us this, and I don't want to dwell too much on this, but this is what I want to use this as a foundation for the rest of the message, is that the Bible tells us, what knows the things of a man except the spirit that is in the man? It simply means, how do you know what's inside of you except by the spirit that is in you? You will know, your mind, your soul will know what's inside of your own spirit. Do you understand that? Let's maybe use this term. You will know what is in your own heart. Your neighbor, your friends, they won't know. But you know yourself what's within, right? Then the scriptures goes on and says, what knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? That means what knows what's in the mind of God except the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And then the scripture says, eyes have not seen nor ears have heard the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, right? But then what does he say? But to you, the Holy Spirit was given unto you. You have received not the spirit of this world, but the Holy Spirit. And because you have received the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, and this Spirit is inside of you, and when the Holy Spirit touches my spirit, I will know what God puts in my own spirit. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit knows the things of God, puts in my spirit the things of God. And how will I know that? It doesn't have to be the Holy Spirit saying. Now the Holy Spirit has placed it inside my spirit, and the things that are inside my spirit, my mind can decipher and understand what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. Does that make sense? It's called the inner witness. There's something, like you call it, sometimes we use the word conscience. You know deep inside there's something that's working. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But it may not come as an audible voice of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is putting inside our hearts, inside our spirit, things that we need to work out. And when you hear that, then you know that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait until you hear an audible voice of the Holy Spirit and say, you shall not do this and you shall not do that. You shall not smoke. You shall not be a drunkard. You shall not drink. You know, you don't have to hear that audible voice, because why? God puts it into our spirit. So you and I will know if you're born again, born of God, born by the will of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, God will put something in our spirit. So as a foundation this morning, as I want to use that and continue on sharing, let's be one with the Holy Spirit. Number one, I want to share 3 points. The first one is acknowledge the Holy Spirit. To acknowledge the Holy Spirit. It means to be conscious, to recognize, to accept, and to respond to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. How much of our ways are not the ways of God? How much of our thoughts are not actually the thoughts of God? How many times have we gone out and do things out of our own effort and out of our own understanding and our own minds? Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Sometimes because we have abilities and skills, we can do things by our own strength without depending on the Holy Spirit. We can do great works, we can do great things even without acknowledging the Holy Spirit. We lean on our own thinking. We lean on our own abilities. We trust in ourselves rather than trusting in the Holy Spirit. Acknowledging the Holy Spirit is a form of honor. Honoring the Holy Spirit by being conscious that without Him, we can do nothing. I was born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to live this life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need to cry out daily to ask the Holy Spirit to help me, because without Him, we can do nothing. Something that I've been learning, or I had to learn, okay? Something I had to learn and am still learning is to give honor to whom honor is due. Is that right? What we can do here, I'm going to use analogies here to show what we can do to the Holy Spirit, is if we walked in a room and I ignored you from the moment we entered the room, didn't even bother looking at you, didn't bother talking to you, didn't bother to say anything, no greetings or anything like that, how would you feel? How would you feel? Would you feel honored? Would you feel respected? And you know, when we can do that to the Holy Spirit, do you know that we could be leading songs? I mean, I got to talk about the real stuff that we all do, right? You know, we can be leading songs without the Holy Spirit. We could be just singing songs without worshiping. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Do you know that we can do that? I just want to highlight to you that the reality of how we do things sometimes reveal how much there's no reverence and honor for the Holy Spirit. We don't actually acknowledge Him, but we do it on our own effort and our own strength. Everybody say with me, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Number two. Okay, let's be a little bit more positive, right? We declare this morning that there will be such a God consciousness in our lives. The Holy Spirit, we say we're sorry for not always recognizing and acknowledging you in all things. Father, from this day onwards, we pray that we'll be so conscious of you, Holy Spirit. You are here, you're watching over us, and you're always leading us. And Lord, if we would be attentive to hear the things that you put in our hearts so that we can live according to your word and according to your Spirit, I pray, release that dimension upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two is believe the Holy Spirit. You know, to be one with the Holy Spirit, we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but we also need to believe when the Holy Spirit speaks. One thing that Mary did in the Bible when she conceived Jesus, when Gabriel the angels delivered the word unto her, what did she say? She said, "Let it be done to me according to your word." You know, we have to believe the Holy Spirit. You know, we come here every Sunday and you hear different messages every Sunday. Is that right? You hear Sunday messages, right? But as you go through the Sunday messages, sometimes you feel like something spoke to you so much, right? It's like, wow, it's talking about my life. It's talking exactly what I'm going through. And you know that, right? Sometimes you hear things, but you're not necessarily going through this. But, you know, it's a good principle to keep, right? But when those things happen, you don't ignore it. You don't put it aside. You still got to take it in because you don't know when in the future that word will save you. Do you know what I'm talking about? A lot of times we hear, oh, you know, yeah, I know it's true, but at this moment I have this other problem, so it's not relevant to me. So we tend to do what? Put it on the shelf and it doesn't mean much. Is that right? But until something happened, then you realize that word, I need that. I need that word. Believe the word. Believe the Holy Spirit. You just, when you hear things coming on Sunday, just take it on. You never know when you need it. So take it for the journey. Believe the word. Believe the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking His word. Now let me read a couple of scriptures here. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19 says this, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power?" What is that mighty power? That mighty power is the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Verse 20, "which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places." He's the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So there's a mighty working of the Holy Spirit to those who believe. Chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And this is Paul speaking this, "of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effective working of His power." So Paul became, everybody say became, right? He became by the gift of God that was, say, everybody say given. Given by the effective working of His power. So he can only become because he has received, or because it was given and he received and believed. And he became. All right, if we want to change, we have to receive and believe the word in the Holy Spirit. One more scripture in 1 Thessalonians. 2:13. All right, are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word," right, "of God, which you heard from us," all right, these are people, these are men, this is like Paul and his team, "you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." It only effectively works in us if we receive it and if we believe it. If we don't receive it, if we don't believe it, it will not work effectively in us. The Bible tells us in Philippians, right? "Work out your salvation in trembling and in fear, for it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasures." So God is working in us to do His will, to will His will and to do His good pleasures, but who is working it out? It is you and I. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to do it for us. But the Holy Spirit works in us so that we will work out what God puts in us. Amen? Are you with me this morning? What I'm trying to say this morning is that oftentimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But do we believe it? Do we receive it? And do we believe it? When you hear the word coming forth on a Sunday, where it may be a prophetic word, a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke or correction or adjustment, do we take it as God is doing a word inside of me, or do we reject it? Because there's a lot of ways and there's a lot of reasons how we can find excuses or we can find ways not to receive and believe that word. Do we believe the Holy Spirit? How do we know sometimes we don't believe? Is because of the way we live. Is because of the way we handle certain situations. And it defines some of the things that we do. Is that right? So everybody say, believe the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks, I do not, and through men, I do not receive it as the word from men, but the word as it is in truth, the word of God. I receive it, I believe it, and the word effectively works in me. Number three, the last one. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So we are to honor by acknowledging the Holy Spirit in all that we do, that without Him, there's nothing we can do. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Number two, we talked about believing the Holy Spirit, that when God speaks to us, we got to believe and agree with His Word. Respond to His Word. Amen? Believe in His Word. That's why you will find it is so important for us to respond to the Word. Believing the Word, responding the Word with the Word. Do you know, our lives is an expression of what is inside. I can only express the things that are truly happening inside of my own heart. So you find that when the Word of God comes to you and to me, there is something that happens inside of your spirit, and you call it the womb of the Spirit, and something happens when the Word comes. And as a result, you'll find that, I don't know how you feel sometimes, but sometimes you feel like something is, I don't know what's the word, but something is just moving from the inside, is excited, is passionate. You feel like something is just stirring. Thank you, Uncle Hawk. Thank you very much. Stirring. Something is just stirring from within. Do you know what I'm saying? And so as a result, we say, yes, Lord, I believe it. You know, so that's why it's so important for us to respond to the Word. Respond to the Word. Respond to the Word. Believe the Word. That stirring of the Holy Spirit will cause me to lift up my hands. Not because the worship leader says, okay, let's lift up our hands and worship God. You don't have to wait for the song leader to say that. You do it because you know, I'm here to worship. You know, someone is praying, you want to receive from the Lord. You just, like the scripture says, you know, that, you know, Paul talks about, you know, that I desire that all men will raise up their hands unto the Lord in worship. Because why? It's not because of people telling us this is, although the Bible tells us we should do this. But you know, when something from within happens, we need the Bible as a guide, and we need to learn from the Bible. But the things that are happening from within will cause us to respond. Amen? Amen. Sorry. Okay, number three, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is my last point. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17, it says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 to 32.
Should be on the screen.
It says this, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgive you. We can grieve the Holy Spirit when we neglect the work of the Holy Spirit in us, one. And when we forget how much we've been forgiven. Do you know, we live in a world where I can at least say in this, when I said the world, and at least I can speak in the context of this nation, we have all of our rights, all of our, you know, my rights. Is that right? I have the right to do this and I have the right to do that. Do you know what I'm talking about? And we can put our rights above everything else. Well, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not sure. Okay. Sometimes we might think, if I am offended, I have the right to be angry. You have the right to be angry, but you have no right to sin. You can be angry yet not sin. So we think that because I was hurt, I have the right to behave a certain way. But is that the work of the Holy Spirit? Is that of the Spirit or is that of the flesh? How can we grieve the Holy Spirit when we know what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, yet we are not willing to work with what the Holy Spirit is saying to us? Do you know what I'm talking about? We can grieve it because why? Like we started in the introduction, I said, the Holy Spirit puts in our hearts, you will know the things that the Holy Spirit is deeply working in our own hearts. When we choose to say, you know what? I have my rights, and though what you say, it's right, but I have my rights. And when we put that above what God is saying and what the Holy Spirit is working, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And we see that in the manifestations, in how we speak, how we treat our neighbor, how we talk, how we behave, and how we love. It's in our behavior. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. When we don't work with the Holy Spirit, we give place to the enemy in our lives. Now, for all those who have been doing the live group lessons, you know what I'm talking about, right? How do we give place for the enemy, or we give entrance to the enemy, is when we know the Holy Spirit is doing something in our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks very clearly. Very clearly. You will know when you go back and take your notes and see what has God been saying. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking clearly. And you and I know there are certain things that we need to adjust. But it's what we decide to do with this. Do we decide to say, we'll put it aside and, okay, it's okay, and keep living the way we live? Or are we actually going to take what God is saying and take and do something about it. You know, one thing that I did say to myself when I became a born-again Christian, I said to my own self, now, if I'm positive in this area, I need help in other areas, okay? So I'm not highlighting how great I am. But I did have this in my heart. When I became a Christian, I said, you know, I should not have any bitterness against anyone. There's no reason why I can't forgive anybody. That's just a thought. Now, you understand that when a non-Christian looks at a Christian, they have certain standards of what a Christian should be like, which means loving, no foul words maybe, and a forgiveness is, you know, do you know what I'm talking about? They will have certain expectations of what they expect out of us. And coming from a very religious background, you know, you may not mean it internally, but outside you want to look like you forgive everyone. You want to look like you love everyone. You want to look like you're tender-hearted, compassionate, loving. Externally, you're wonderful. But because of the born-again experience, I believe, you know, but God did put in my heart that, you know, if I understand the salvation of Jesus Christ and how much He forgave me, there's no reason why I should never be able to not forgive anybody. So, and I hope my brother can be a witness. Okay, he's not here. But, you know, I do believe that, you know, sometimes we say things that, you know, we made a mistake, so it was not very nice, you know. But to recognize, and he will do it back to me, we apologize to one another. I always thought that was weird, you know. I don't know about you. You know, to apologize to your own brother, sometimes it's like funny. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just funny, right? But you know what? But at the start, it was a bit of a challenge. But it's not a problem now to say that, I'm sorry. You know, and I really believe that if we understand what it means when you say be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, it becomes powerful when that becomes really real in us, when we truly recognize how much Jesus did for us and how much we should forgive back. But what we can do is the issues that comes upon our way, when we take it in and build it up and neglect it, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We neglect the working of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that even in this world, people are looking for real people. What I mean by that is genuine people. As a church, we can externally look like great people. Do you know what I'm talking about? We can look like we're the nicest people on planet Earth. But if they spend enough time with us, they will know what we are really like internally. You know someone, you become their friends, and they're very nice to you, right? And you can even name them best friend or whatever, right? But when you spend more time with that person, you realize, I don't like the way he does this, I don't like the way he does that, and I don't like the way he says this, and I don't like his son of him manners, and the way he's like, I like cleanliness, and he's unclean, and he's touching my things. You have all these things that suddenly come into the picture you don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so, but the thing is that when you spend enough time, you get to really know what each other's are like. And that's where the real manifestation of who we are really manifests. Does that make sense? But I believe that the people that are looking for God, I mean, there are so many people out there. We heard from a particular man that joined us in the Emperor's Crown Hostel last week. And we asked, and he came into the service, and he joined us for the whole thing. You know, we prayed for him, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of that. And let me finish with this. And we asked him, we said, look, why? Because he said he's traveling around Australia for 6 months. He's just been driving with a car with someone all around Australia. And we asked him, so what actually made you want to travel around Australia like this? He said, you know, I met this person and this and this and that. But he says, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just running away from something. You're running away from problems, from troubles. And so, and cut a long story short, you know, he said, well, you know, I meet a lot of people. And he says, probably at least 50% of people are just like me. You know, they might be into drugs, they might be into all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things that they're involved with, but they're running away from this because they don't have answers. But if they come to people, Christians, genuine Christians, they will find the answer because there's truth, and the truth will set them free. But if we are not real in ourselves in what we believe in, how are we going to help them? How are they going to be changed? How are they going to encounter the Lord? Like, if we're going to talk to this person and say, oh, please, you must forgive your parents. Maybe they had, and if I can't forgive, how can I say to this person, forgive your parents? I can't. I have no authority whatsoever to say that because I have not forgiven myself. That's why if God is going to use his people, I really believe that God is raising up real, genuine people. Because I think, you know, the world is tired of untruthfulness, meaning fake, you know, just a form of godliness, just a form of churchianity or a form of Christianity. But people are looking for the real thing. And you and I believe God is calling us, even challenging us this morning, to be real in what we believe in. We can only do that if we would agree and humble ourselves and work with the Holy Spirit. Work with the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge things that can stop it. Pride. Attitudes, bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt, offenses, past experiences, all of these things can cause us to say, I have too much problem and I will let go. I can't work. I can't allow the Holy Spirit to work because I'm so focused on my issues. But I pray this morning that God, the truth this morning, sets us free. So we come to a place where we say, Lord, without you, the Holy Spirit, I can do nothing. Lord, I want to believe everything, every word that you say, let it stir in my heart. I believe, and I believe that your word says this, and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray, let this be upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Let the word come forth so that we can walk by faith, not walk by facts, not walk by what we see. But Lord, your word says, if I give, I will, what you sow, you will reap. Then I believe that. And though that sow in the spirit will reap of the spirit, that sows in the flesh will reap of the flesh. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. I receive it. I receive it. I believe it with all of my heart. And I confess in Jesus' name. Let me say this one last thing. And really, I finish with this. You know, in Romans chapter 10, when he says, believe with all your heart and confess with all your sin that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know that? And then what happens when we do that, you become born again because you believe with all your heart, you repent from your sins and put your faith and you declare it, you confess it with your mouth. I believe that there's something that God's going to do in our hearts, that we believe so much from the inside that our mouth will confess in Jesus' name. Everything that God is putting in our hearts, putting in our lives, the word of God, will be found in us, near us, and in our mouth this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the working of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that so many things that have stopped us from going to a place of destiny because of past experiences, because of hurt, but because of offenses, because of bitterness, because of anything that might have caused, might be the cause. This morning, we say we surrender all. We let go of all in Jesus' name. We die. We die to the flesh. We die to our rights. We die to everything that we think we deserve and what we call as our own rights. But we say we surrender all to the Holy Spirit. Work mightily in us by the power of the Holy Spirit and by your word so that we will be changed in your presence and be changed more and more into your likeness in Jesus' name. We don't want a form of godliness. We want the substance of godliness. We don't want a form of God. We want the substance and the reality of God to work in our lives and to do a mighty work from within that will bring about a transformation in our lives, in our relationships, in our workplace, in the people that are around about us, in our families, in Jesus' name. And in this nation, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that God, you're raising up a generation of people in godliness and righteousness that will rise up in Jesus' name. Transform into your presence by your word and your spirit into your presence that will bring about a transformation in our nation, in our cities, in our families, in Jesus' name, so that this nation can turn around and worship the Lord God Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.